News Radio KONP presents the Todd Ortloff Show. Now from Port Angeles, it's Todd Ortloff.
My pleasure to have back on the show Kevin Chapman. He is a Port Angeles native, the son of Scooter Chapman. I always have to throw that in there. And also quite the author. And we have Kevin back on today because he's back out with another in his series of the Mike Stoneman thrillers. And the new one just released called Lethal Voyage is just out. Kevin, good to have you back.
Todd, great to be here.
So let's talk about Mike Stoneman's latest getting on a cruise ship this time.
Cruise ships are great venues for mysteries. the old locked room concept. Somebody on this ship is a murderer. We have to figure out who it is.
Okay, so for those who've just joined us and maybe they've not, this is how many books now in your Stoneman series? And tell us a little bit about how you came up with the idea to start writing this this thriller series based on this character.
Well, this is book three in the Mike Stoneman thriller series. It's going to be at least five books in the overall story arc. So I'm working toward number five. This is number three, so 60% of the way there. I started writing the mystery series about 3-4 years ago now, and I had entered a short story in a writing contest that won first prize based on the character of Mike Stoneman. So I decided to expand that up into a full novel, and people liked it. So now it's book two and book three now. I'm really having fun with it.
Okay, so tell us a bit about Mike Stoneman. We've chatted before, but those who've not heard our previous conversations, I guess you could describe, not your typical private investigator type.
No, Mike is a New York City homicide detective, and he's just now pushing 50. Matter of fact, he turns 50 years old in the course of the story in Lethal Voyage. He's been around the block several times, and he's a little crusty, a little acerbic, but he can be a little funny sometimes as well. Doesn't take any crap from anybody, and he's actually a really fun character to write, partly because I have him involved in a very recent romantic involvement with the county medical examiner named Michelle McNeil. So coming into a romantic relationship late in life, having never been married before, makes for some interesting drama, a little nice little subplot, a little romance. So it's nice as a juxtaposition to the crime.
Now, you haven't had that lots of romance in the previous ones. So this is kind of a new adventure as well for you in writing this.
Well, there was a little
bit,
in the first book, Righteous Assassin. You just had the very beginnings of the relationship between Mike and Michelle. And then in the second book, they actually got a little more romantically involved. Matter of fact, they took a little trip together to Port Angeles in the second book, Deadly Enterprise.
And you just beat me to my next question. So talk about this, because you found a way to kind of get a little bit of your hometown in the book as well.
That was a lot of fun. Yeah. I created a character who, actually the character who was murdered at the beginning of Deadly Enterprise, book number two, was from Port Angeles, and that gave me an excuse to write in a road trip to Port Angeles to investigate the circumstances of this young woman. And then a character from Port Angeles comes to New York for part of the story. So that was a lot of a lot of fun to get the old hometown some cred.
Very good. Okay, so let's talk about the new one. How come you decided to pick a cruise ship? Tell us a bit about that.
Well, my wife and I do a lot of cruising. We really enjoy the cruise ship experience. We unfortunately haven't had it now for a little while. We had two cruises planned for 2020 that never happened because of the pandemic. And this book has nothing to do with viruses or pandemics or anything like that. The timing of the storyline is May of 2019. So this all happens long before anybody ever heard the word COVID. But cruise ships are a lot of fun. There's a lot going on. You can write in a lot of characters who show up and can interact with your characters, and they can be from anywhere because virtually anyone can be on a cruise ship. And there's also entertainment going on. There's a production of Chicago, the Broadway show Chicago, on the ship, which plays a part. We get to get Mike Stoneman to the poker table at the ship's casino, and I get to write a poker-playing scene, which I've been waiting to do for three books now. So it's a fun way to mix in a lot of different elements, as well as the murder mystery.
All right, so let's talk about poker, because aside from you being an attorney, that's your day job. You also write these books. That, I guess that'd be your hobby and your night job. But you also are quite a poker player too.
I have been known to do fairly well occasionally at the poker table.
Oh, now come on!
I've been to the World Series of Poker in Las Vegas for each of the last 5 years up until this year, when nobody went because the live events got canceled. But I enjoy that. It's a nice diversion. It's very intellectually stimulating. I have a lot of fun at it. And there's a little bit of Mike Stoneman in me and a little bit of me in Mike Stoneman. So I wrote in book two a small reference to the fact that he played some poker. And then this book, I got a chance to actually sit him down at the poker table and have a scene.
So does he play like you play, Kevin, or not?
I would say yes.
Okay.
I would say Mike plays a little like me.
Is he risky? Is he not risky? How do you describe your way of playing poker? Are you a conservative guy, or do you just go for it?
I'd say he's cautiously aggressive.
Okay.
Picks his spots, but once he's picked a spot, he's going to go for it.
Very
Which
good.
Is the same when you're interrogating a witness, and that kind of plays back into the story, that there's a point at which the investigator sometimes has to bluff. And see what reaction you get, and that comes back around at the end of the book.
Well, fortunately, I know a bit about you, Kevin. So this one also, you have a New York Mets player that has shown up in this book as well. You being a Mets fan,
I am, and there's always a Mets reference
right.
in every book.
So but you actually got a former famous player that shows up. Tell us about that.
I did. Well, this plays into Mike Stoneman being at the poker table, and I wanted to get my Mets reference in, so I had a former Met great, Lenny Dykstra, shows up at the poker table as the chief adversary for Mike. So they get to spar a little bit at the poker table, and there's a few references to Lenny and his playing career, so it was fun to write that in, one of the member of the 1986 World Champion
yeah.
Mets.
That doesn't go beyond that. Just simply a poker game, though, right? Or is there more? I don't want you to give away too much of the movie or the book. But is that pretty much it for the Lenny Dykstra?
Yeah, Lenny is not a major character. He's not a suspect. He's not the killer. So you can write that off of your script. Somebody told me I should have made him the killer, but I figured that would be. A little too unrealistic, so.
Well, and it would be sacrilegious, a Mets fan, wouldn't it? You can't. Okay,
Lenny's done some weird things in his career and his life,
true.
It wouldn't be that far beyond the pale.
How did you get inspired to write the Mike Stoneman character, too? I mean, what made you to just, for the first time in that first book, sit down and say, you know, I'm going to write one of these things, and it's going to be about this guy that's a detective in New York City and all of that?
Well, the very first story is a short story. It's called Fool Me Twice. It's actually free. You can download it off the internet for nothing. So if you want to get a little taste of Mike Stoneman for that, you can go grab Fool Me Twice. The idea for the story was a murder mystery, but you have to have a cop who's investigating. So as you develop the character of the cop, what do you want it to be? Do you want him to be young? Do you want him to be old? I made him kind of my age, and I was projecting myself a little bit into the role. Like if I were a veteran New York City homicide detective, what would I be? How would I behave? What would I be like? And you kind of craft the character from there and throw in a little spice and a little curve, and pretty soon you've got a character who's not you, but is somebody that you've created, and so you have fun with him.
What do you have specific characters that you like to write to or towards or inspired by? And then the natural follow up is how much of this is artistic liberties of people that you actually know? Would we find people if you're familiar with Kevin Chapman in his younger days? Hey, I think that's that guy.
Not really. I mean, you'll find some names occasionally that you will recognize who are real people who've shown up from time to time. Always with permission. I always ask my real friends whether I can use their name, so I do get permission from that before I do it. But those characters aren't based upon real people. There's the occasional real person like Lenny Dykstra. But for all of the fictional characters, they are grown up from my imagination. Occasionally, there'll be characteristics that I'll take from other fictional characters or other real people to little bits and pieces that you'll throw in. But they're all very, very fictionalized. Sometimes I think about a character, an actor, for example. Mm-hmm. If this actor were playing this part, how would they behave? How would they speak? What would they be like? So I sometimes imagine that, but it's still my imagination and very little else.
Okay, without giving away the whole book, let's go through the plot of this just a little bit. You're on a cruise ship. Mike Stoneman's on a cruise ship. What's he trying to solve in this whole thing?
Well, start with the setup, which is that at the very end of Deadly Enterprise, Mike and Jason Dixon, his partner, are involved in an altercation at a Brooklyn hotel that was not very popular with the police brass and was highly interesting to the New York press. And so the police commissioner tells both of them to get the heck out of town so they can avoid more probing questions from the reporters. So they quickly arrange, their girlfriends arrange for this cruise out of New York to Bermuda. So they're looking forward to just a week of relaxation after all of the exciting events in book number two. And they meet up with a Broadway producer who appears in chapter two of the book. The Broadway theater producer is there with his wife, Shirley. The Broadway producer's name is Max Bloom. Which, if you're a fan of The Producers, you'll recognize a variation on that name, Max, mm-hmm. Maximilian Bloom. And so his wife, Shirley, turns out to have a connection back to Michelle McNeil. Michelle's a fan of hers. She used to be a Broadway actress. So that's all very nice and cozy and the kinds of things that happen on cruise ships. You meet interesting people and they have interesting backgrounds and you get to know them. But then Shirley, sadly, falls to her death from the balcony of her stateroom. And that's not really a spoiler since it's on the back cover of the book. That's the central plot then becomes who killed Shirley and why? And then other events transpire after that. And the real central issue is, did Max do it? Did he kill his wife? Or not, and if not him, then who and how and why, and that becomes the whole central investigation aboard the cruise ship. And the reason Mike and Jason, who are just passengers on this ship, get involved is that the head of security for the ship is not interested in considering this to be a homicide. He's very willing to call it a suicide. She jumped. She died. End of story. Nothing to see here. But Michelle, who's a medical examiner, thinks that it might not have been a suicide based on things that happened before and things that happened after. But Mike and Jason end up being the only ones on the ship interested in pursuing that line of inquiry, at least in the beginning. So that's how they get roped into being on duty, so to speak, while they're trying to be on vacation.
Well, because they're consummate professionals, they can't let a crime go unnoticed or unresearched or uninvestigated.
Probably not, but if the if the head of security on the ship was actually investigating, they might be able to take more of a back seat. But it wouldn't be much of a story if that were the case. So,
is this a Caribbean cruise? Where is the cruise going? We should probably point that out as well.
The cruise is going to Bermuda.
Okay.
So it's a 6-day cruise down and back to Bermuda from New York. I've been on that cruise. It's a lovely trip. You can bed a day and a half down, and then you have time on the island, and it's a day and a half back.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a nice, relaxing vacation. And my wife and I have been to Bermuda 20 times, and it's our favorite place. Why we keep going back. So I got a chance to write a few scenes on the island too, make some references to some of our favorite places in Bermuda. Give a shout out to a few of our favorite venues, the Frog and Onion Pub and whatnot. So that was fun to talk about Bermuda, which is a place I know very well.
Very nice. All right, let's talk about writing this, though. COVID-19 hit, I guess because you weren't taking cruises or going to the poker tour, you might have had more time to write the book, I guess. But talk a little bit about how that's affected things in this pandemic and your writing.
It certainly has affected a lot. We're home. I mean, I'm working from home. We're staying home. We're not going out to movies. We're not going out to concerts. We're not even going. I mean, when I took vacation for a month for a week at the beginning of the month of November, and did nothing but stay home and hang around the house and did some writing and did some housework. And so, yeah, we have a lot more time to devote to the writing in the past 9 months than I would have in the absence of COVID, which, mm-hmm. I mean, listen, there's a lot of bad things. So I will never say it's a good thing that that COVID came around, but it did certainly speed up my my writing process to the point that I got done with this book probably 2 months, maybe 3 months earlier than I might otherwise have.
Okay, now you also did a launch party for this online in the midst of all of this. How did that go?
That went great. It was yesterday, and we spent an hour on Facebook Live. The replay of the event is up on my Facebook page and also on the website. Although I have to link it properly on the website. But yeah, it was great. We talked to some friends. We did some cruise ship trivia. We gave some background about some of the characters who were in the book for my readers who were on the launch party feed. So that was a lot of fun. First time we've ever tried to do that for a book, and I would definitely do it again. I mean, we used to have a live launch party at Foley's Pub in Manhattan, but Foley's is not only not open but closed forever. They went out of business.
Wow.
So going to Foley's for the launch party was not an option. So it's virtual. All authors are doing virtual launch parties now, so why not do one myself? It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
All right, what's going to be next? You've got a couple more books left in the series, so give us a tease.
Well, at the end of Lethal Voyage, there is a newspaper account of the murder of the starting quarterback for the New York football team that is not named because you can't violate NFL trademarks.
Oh, yeah. Big trouble.
So it's about, so the next book is called Fatal Infraction, and it is about the investigation into the death or the murder of the quarterback of the New York NFL football team. And so it gives me the chance to get back to New York. This one will be set in New York and partly in New Jersey, and Mike and Jason will be hot on the case of what happened to Jimmy Rydell, the controversial quarterback. So that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm about a quarter of the way finished with the drafting of that book, and I hope to have the first draft done by the end of the year and start editing. So that's going to be a lot of fun. That's book four, and then book five. I'm not quite sure what the crime plot is going to be, but I have the subplot all scoped out all the way through the end of the story arc to the end of book five, and I will tell you that a little bit of it will take place in Las Vegas. So
okay.
Mike and Jason and the gang will be taking another road trip. This time they'll head west and they'll go to Vegas for a little while.
Well, the books are all great. I get a chance to read them because you send them out to me as soon as you get them done, and always fun to have them show up. And we'll encourage people to go to kevngchapman.com. You can get all of the backstory and some information there as well. There's also an audio book, right?
All three books are available on audiobook. They're on Audible as well as retail available through all of the places you can get audiobooks, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, Chirp, Apple Books, Google Play. So you can get the audiobook and listen to me narrate it if you choose to listen to your books rather than read them.
Kevin, it's always great to talk to you. Good luck as you continue on this thing. You've got a good thing going on.
It is fun. It's a great hobby. I highly recommend it to anybody who's got that book somehow noodling around inside their head. Go write it, and Have fun with it.
All right. Kevin Chapman, always good to talk to you. Port Angeles resident formerly, now lives over on the East Coast and out with another in the Mike Stoneman thriller series, Lethal Voyage, the name of the latest book. You can get it everywhere that books are sold, and also in audio form, too, if that's how you choose to digest your books. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more in just a moment.